Good morning and welcome. We'd like to thank you on behalf of Jenkins for coming and worshiping with us today. Are there any visitors besides, we'll introduce the Renaissance Quartet, but are there any other visitors this morning? I don't see any, but I gotta admit I'm a little nervous today because I'm among my peers. I've known these guys for a long time, most of them. But the Renaissance Quartet's here this morning. They're going to sing for us, and this afternoon they'll have a concert at 2, correct?
That's right, 2 o'clock.
So if you guys kind of want to wave real quick and everybody knows that you're not from here. Are there any announcements this morning, Mr. Sam?
I have one today.
Have a couple of things bring to your attention. One is next Sunday, fifth Sunday, one service, 9 o'clock. Some people will show up at 8, and that's okay. Some people will show up at 10:15. We'll be eating by then or getting ready to. So if you do forget and get confused and show up at 10:15, just come on and eat with us. If you show up at 8 o'clock, please wait. We'll have worship at 9 o'clock. And that's every fifth Sunday. I think there's 4 in the year. Every once in a while, there are 5. So that's next Sunday, one service. Worship at 9 o'clock, brunch to follow. And the 7th of February, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church will celebrate 200 years and 3 days of existence. It came into existence February the 4th, 1810. This is, be fair with the 7th, 2010. So that's 200 years and 3 days. So we're going to be a little bit late, but that is what we call denominational Sunday. That afternoon at 3 o'clock, some of us are traveling to Columbia. The youth will be there to help us out. We'll have a sermon. We'll have some old songs. We'll have some slideshow, we hope, of some things in the past. And some refreshments. So we encourage all who can to go with us to Columbia Church, Cumberland Presbyterian Church, on February the 7th, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm pleased to have Mike Parker with us this morning. He is from Bethel College. I think he's the money man, so you better zip up your pocketbook or purse or whatever. He's here to just do public relations, right? Encourage the choir along. But that is your official job, to help develop that place more and more. Bethel College is on a roll, I guess we would say, and we have 7 of them right here, and they've been practicing last night and today and worked real hard. They stayed at the Bennett's, so we ask you to offer thanks to the Bennett's for providing lodging for them. And we welcome all of them, and I think they can introduce themselves as they come up. Is that right? Because I know I'll mix up the names. Thank you, Patrick. Not only do Patrick know them, they know him too. So
don't listen to their stories. I have a few youth announcements. There's a couple trips. Specifically, if you have middle schoolers in your family, we're trying to get them involved as much as possible, so pay attention to those announcements. Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests or praise reports?
Pete Bottom's mother passed away in Florida last week, and it's week before last now. And we ask you to lift up the Bottom's family. We who have experienced loss of a parent know the problems with that. Also, Carol Simpson, talked to her last night. Her brother was having yesterday emergency bypass surgery up in Peoria, Illinois. And he's a truck driver, got sick on the job, and they put him in the hospital and did surgery. So Carol Simpson's brother, I don't know his name, but just God can make that connection better than we can. Thank you.
Be sure to write that on a card and so that we can put it on our prayer list. Okay. Okay. That's great. That's good. Are there any others? I leave Wednesday for Columbia, so I would just ask that you continue to pray for the group I'm going with, 16 other guys from 15 others, 16 total from Kentucky. So be with us as we're traveling. If there are no other, let's take a moment for silent prayer while welcoming Jesus through the light of the world. If you stand and join with me for the call to worship this morning, it's found in the bulletin. God's glory is pouring forth from the heavens.
Earth below receives the good news with great joy.
The promise is sure and true that Jesus has come to show us the best ways to serve God.
By serving and caring for others, we truly serve God.
Come, let us prepare ourselves for joyful service.
Lord, make us ready for great service in your name. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals now to hymn 66, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life as atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing with Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let's bow together for prayer, and Reverend Tommy Job will lead us, and then lead us in our Lord's Prayer.
Holy God, we are thankful to be in Your presence this morning. We thank You for the joy and the thrill of giving thanks for every breath of life, which is a precious gift from Thee. We thank You for the joining of our voices together and for hearing the special music this day. Guide us as we hear Your word, as we receive it to ourselves, as we begin a new week, and as we strive to honor You with our lives. We give You praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We talk to pray.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
You may be seated.
Our call to confession. Let us draw near by faith to the One who has first come to us, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, full of grace and truth. If you'll join with me in the prayer of confession, it is in unison. O God, You create us for a relationship, and yet You are isolated from one another and separated from You. We confess that our self-sufficiency leads to loneliness, and our self-improvement leads to exhaustion. Anoint us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Connect us to the one body, the Church, and to the Lord of the Church, Jesus Christ, who comes to set the captives free. Amen. My friends, hear these words of assurance. Hear the good news. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is the gift of God, not the result of works, lest anyone should boast. In the name of Jesus Christ and through His gracious life, death, and resurrection, we are forgiven. Amen.
Now I introduce to you Matt Hope from Bethel University, McKenzie, Tennessee, and Matt, it's yours.
I'm going to the Son of heaven again. Step on up there, buddy. There you go. All the way from Brownsville, Kentucky as well. His name is
give him another round of applause. And he was speaking of the growth of Bethel. When I started, Renaissance didn't exist, and I think we only had about 500 full-time on campus. So just the numbers, it's exploding. It's a great thing. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord, gifts have come our way too numerous to count, but that greatest gift of Jesus the Christ. And Lord, because You sent Him into the world to redeem us, we are gathered here today to celebrate. We thank You for the gift of music and these who have been set apart for sharing Your truths through music. We thank You for colleges and universities, and especially Bethel College, and the influence that it's had in our lives. Lord, but we would not fail to pray for Christian colleges throughout the world. Thank You. Thank You for Jesus, and bless these gifts given in His name, that truly they will go to share Him with the rest of the world, as well as keep His name lifted high in the local community. In His name, amen and amen. May be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning will be read by Chelsea.
Today's scripture lesson is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 24. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Chelsea and Patrick, and all of you who have come to give your support. We have two or three things to say. Number one, if you have an outline, if you follow that outline, I sent it to Teresa and then looked at it later after all the printing was done and said, oh no. Number one, if you're following the outline in the bulletin, CP Confession of Faith says sanctification. There should not be an S on that. Also, two lines down, that which God sets apart should be a capital G and should not be an apostrophe. There may be other corrections, but I wanted to bring that to your attention and let you know that I knew that. I want to talk just a moment about Renaissance. Renaissance, 250-plus students. It is like 10 years ago, there were barely 200 students, I guess, or something like that. And Renaissance has had a great influence in building Bethel College. They have this quartet called Southern Gospel. They have a R&B quartet. I still have trouble understanding how R&B music can be Christian, but those at Bethel are. But I know they can do it, and it can be done. And also, they have a bluegrass quartet, and these guys and girl went to the national. I need some help, maybe. National Quartet Convention in Louisville, Kentucky, September 2009, and they came away number one in the talent competition with old groups and et cetera. Y'all were the youngest group. Is that about right? Maybe. Only college group there. And so we're proud to just to know you and have you in our midst today. Nolan Hatfield auditioned to be the drummer. This drummer, they're going to send him on somewhere else. He graduates. And we hope he goes on somewhere else. But they might keep you around. Whatever, anyhow. What do college graduates do? They hopefully get a job, right? Your parents do anyway. Nolan auditioned. And you just pray for that situation. And I'm not sure who makes the decision, but I think God has a lot to do with it. I'd like to talk about sanctification this morning. And don't try to compete with great musicians, but God's Word comes through music, and it comes through the reading of the Word. It comes through expounding on the Word. We've been talking about some serious theological terms the last few weeks. One of them is justification, and we found that to be a restored relationship, a relationship that had been broken between God and man through sin and through our faith in what Jesus has done, or through what Jesus did on the cross and through His life, death, and resurrection, our faith in Him, we are restored. Justification. And before God, it is just as if we had never sinned after we are restored through our faith. We talked about regeneration last week, and that is new life. A person dead in sin brought to new life through the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit through their faith in Jesus. Jesus restores us. And then we said those who are restored, I mean, those who are regenerated, given new life,
We were dead in sin. We are adopted into God's family. And today I wanted to talk about sanctification. I come to confess that there is much that I don't know about sanctification. I thought that this might just be a discussion, maybe a one-way discussion, unless you raised your hand and insisted about sanctification. But I do have, I think I had a revelation somewhere along the way after this sermon was prepared, and I've done it maybe once before in my life, changed what I was going to, how I was going to approach a subject, and but I feel that I can do that today. There being not only some unanswered questions in my mind concerning sanctification and what it is, there's also a great deal of mystery among a lot of people. Some groups or some denominations say that a person who is sanctified has grown in his or her relationship with God and Jesus, that they have overcome sin, and that they can live free of sinning. We say that that is not a definition of sanctification. We say, Cumberland Presbyterians and many others would say, that sanctification is being set apart, for service in God's kingdom. And He enables us to improve in our life. He calls us always to improve in our spiritual life, in our relationship with God, in our character, in our, the way we live. One passage that calls for this is Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 and following, the passage that we have for our scripture lesson. Always climbing up a little higher, getting a little better, getting a little closer to God. Some people want to be saved and that's it. They just want to get in the gate, so to speak, of salvation, if you want to call it the gate of heaven, and stop there and never go on. That's not what it's about. That's not what Christianity is about. It's trusting Christ as our Savior, becoming believers in Christ or becoming Christians, and then that's the birth, that's the beginning, and we move from there and take steps. You might say up the ladder, if you will, or steps in improving our life every day. Hopefully, the church service, hopefully the Sunday school, hopefully the Bible study, hopefully all that's done in Jesus' name will enable us to grow closer to God. Some say that you can get to that point that you are without sin. We say we don't ever expect to get there in this life. One fear of that, or one problem with that, is that if we say we will never attain perfection in this life, that we'll say, well, we can never get it, and so we'll just don't have to worry about it and not try to improve. But it should not. It should not keep us from growing closer to God, being better people, being better servants. Set apart for service. And the revelation I had, if you can call it a revelation, is in Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Two men went down to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That is Luke 18, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterer, or even as this publican here. Two men were in the altar. One of them started praying, God, I thank you that I'm such a good guy. And I'm certainly thankful that I'm not like this scoundrel that's standing here with me. What a prayer. What a prayer. What a terrible prayer. I fast twice the week, in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Bragging on himself. God knew what he was doing. He could have said, I thank you that you have enabled me to give this, but he didn't say that. He's just bragging on himself. And the publican, the scoundrel, the one that this guy, this Pharisee, didn't want to be like, and the publican standing afar off, he would not approach close to the altar. He would not even lift his eyes to heaven, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus made a statement about this. He told this parable, and then he made a statement about it. I tell you, this man, the publican, the confessed sinner, went away, down from his house, down to his house, justified, just as if he had never sinned, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself, shall be exalted. So I see the Pharisee thinking that he was sanctified, thinking that he had arrived. And I thought my revelation was, if you ever get to thinking you have become a saint, you probably ain't. You likely ain't. Pretty definite that you ain't. Okay. Now, not supposed to use ain't. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. But he got the point over, I think. If you ever begin to think that you're sanctified or have arrived and are good enough to please God, you don't need to get any better, what comes before the fall? Pride. So just be careful. I want to be good. I want to grow. I don't expect to live without sin. Now, I called a fellow preacher in a denomination that talks about holiness. And they say that John Wesley said that we can be holy in this life because the Bible tells us to. Old Testament, Peter repeated the New Testament, and God would not tell us something that we couldn't do. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. God says this. And my understanding is, where I'm coming from, any holiness that I have is not of my efforts. It's because God has cleansed me, given me new life, and made me holy through Jesus Christ. But I called this preacher and asked him about Romans 7. And I said, where Paul says, I want to do good, but I can't. And I don't want to do bad, but I find myself doing it. And I said, well, what about that? Paul confesses that as good a man as the Apostle Paul was after he became a Christian. And he said, he understands that to be Paul's pre-conversion confession. Before he became a Christian. We see it, or I see it, or I understand it, to be his confession as life is. So I guess you'll have to figure out which one it was. But if you get to thinking that you've arrived, you don't need to improve anymore, you better watch out. Ready for a fall. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us, to justify us, to regenerate us, Thank you that you adopt us into your family. And thank you, Lord, that you continue to work with us by your word and especially your spirit, that we might improve in our witness for you. Use us in service for your kingdom as we serve you and our fellow man. Again, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. Is it 379 where do we have a pianist? There she comes. 379. Is that right? 1 and 6. Maybe, just maybe, somebody would say, take my life, Lord Jesus, and let it be. 1 and 6 of 379. Thank you.